On Christmas Day in 1776, General George Washington's army crossed the Delaware to turn the tide of the Revolutionary War in future America's favor. There's no denying why the capital of our country was named after the first U.S. president. In a similar fashion to our nation's capital regarding the NFL, the hero of the story took the league by surprise to spark a revolution of his own. And it all started with the forward pass.
Welcome to the Football History Dude Podcast, where each episode is a journey back in time to learn about the rich history of the NFL. Your host is Arnie Chapman. Football is his passion, and he wants you to come along with him to explore the yesteryear of the gridiron. So hop on board his DeLorean, and let's get this baby up to 88 miles per hour. Great Scott!
So this time as we step off our DeLorean, the date is March 17th, 1914, and we are in Temple, Texas. The hero of our story is Sammy Adrian Baugh. Now later he would become Slingin' Sammy, because he helped establish the pro game in our nation's capital, and he was also a major influence of offensive revolution of the 1930s and 1940s. But let's take it back a little bit. You see, at the age of 16, his family would move to Sweetwater, Texas. Now, as a high school quarterback, he wanted to be the best. He decided he was going to be a perfectionist, and he was going to master the art of passing. So what he did was he would set up a rope and a tire in his backyard, you know, swinging it from a tree, throwing it around and that kind of thing. He would take that tire, he'd swing it back and forth at various speeds, then he would practice for hours on end, throwing through that tire from different distances, on the run, all sorts of things to kind of hone in his skills to become the perfectionist, the master of the passing game. Now, he would, of course, have a good high school career. Then he would go on to play baseball, basketball, and football, where he would letter in all three sports for TCU. He was recruited there actually for baseball, but he would end up becoming most famous for football. Now, TCU was just at the time a very tiny little college called Texas Christian University, but he helped put this school on the map. Now, Sammy Baugh, after the 1935 season, he took TCU to the Sugar Bowl, where they would have their first ever bowl game victory. Then after the 1936 season, he took the team to the first ever Cotton Bowl Classic. Now, I'm not just saying their first ever Cotton Bowl Classic. I'm talking about the OG Cotton Bowl Classic. This was the first ever Cotton Bowl Classic, and Slingin' Sammy would take TCU to go on and defeat Marquette 16-6. Now, Marquette at the time, they were considered a powerhouse, so this was an unbelievable defeat. I included some Amazon links to Slingin' Sammy's books over at the show notes, which, by the way, you can head on over to the show notes by going to thefootballhistorydude.com. And also, to subscribe for free to the show, make sure you mash that little subscribe button on your podcast player of choice. That way you get the hottest, freshest off the press episodes each and every week. But getting to Sammy Baugh's time in the NFL. In the 1937 draft, he was drafted number 6 overall by the Washington Redskins. So this was also kind of coinciding with the first year with the Redskins being in Washington, D.C. So this would be the beginning of putting the capital, as far as the NFL, on the map. So here comes in this lanky dude, 6'2", 180 pounds, and this was a physical style of play back in the 1930s. So of course, many didn't believe that he was going to make it. In fact, he actually played minor league baseball in 1937 because he wasn't sure there was anything to him in, you know, professional football either. But, alas, he had a hard time hitting a curveball, and they would, you know, send him packing down in the minors and such, and thankfully for us and for the NFL, he decided that he would, quote, give Mr. George Preston Marshall one NFL season. And then, the rest would become history. Speaking of history, the NFL film's top 10 rookie seasons of all time, he clocked in at number 6. Now, that year was just unprecedented. Not just because it was a, let's just say, intriguing style of play that this guy brought to the table, but he just broke all sorts of crazy records and all sorts of other things. That year in his rookie season, he would end up leading the league in passing, and he would guide the Redskins to their first ever league championship. So a rookie QB leading the charge for a team in a new city, maybe not as difficult as nowadays, but still, that's kind of a crazy feat if you ask me. Now let's go ahead and talk about something that kind of really put the cherry on top as far as the, maybe not the perfect, but one of the perfect types of rookie seasons in the NFL. So his sensational rookie season would end up culminating in a perfect fashion. According to an ESPN Sports Century feature, it kind of went as such. Some people insist that his play in the bitter cold and wind of frozen Wrigley Field changed pro football forever, end quote. So, with his numb fingers, this dude still had 17 of 33 pass attempts for 335 yards, which at the time, in that era, that's unheard of. Just crazy numbers. His second half TD passes, now this is even probably more impressive. He had TD passes of 33, 55, and 78 yards, which at the time was just a pound run kind of type of play. They were starting to get in passing, but like I said before, this guy, in fact, this game, helped revolutionize the aerial attack from the sky. But although he had that sensational rookie season and his first season in the NFL was, you know, league champion, it was not all fame and glory. Do you remember that 1940 season where we talked about the Bears beating the Redskins 73-0 in that championship game? Yeah, that was Sammy Baugh. And we kind of discussed this a little bit, but just to take you back a little, Sammy Baugh said that after the game, he was asked if the game would have turned out different if the receiver hadn't dropped a pass in the end zone. And basically, in his deep Texas drawl, he said, yeah, I suppose it would have made it 73-7. There are so many different, you know, records, season statistics and such, and all sorts of things that we could talk about for Sammy Baugh. But the NFL's top 100 list from a 2010 feature put him at number 14. And he was presented by Bill Belichick. We all know this guy. Bill said that his dad actually played a year in the league and back in 1941. But his dad would always speak highly of Sammy Baugh as a football player and as a person. Bill Belichick, upon presenting Sammy Baugh in this featurette, kind of took him, this is back in 2010, mind you, he combined him with Tom Brady, Brian Moorman, and Ed Reed, a true triple threat player, because he led the league in passing, punting, he was an interception king. Bill said this, to have all those guys on your fantasy football team with just one player, that'd be really hitting the trifecta. Now, I love Bill Belichick talking about fantasy football, but we gotta ask, come on, Bill, why you always gotta be playing minds with us? You know, the running back by committees and thinking it's a passing game, but then you just blow them out on the run and vice versa. And come on, man. I tell you what, if you can ever figure out the method behind the madness of Mr. Bill Belichick in speaking of fantasy football, then I welcome you to take your shot at trying to pick a triple threat passer, runner, and receiver on DraftKings yourself. Now, if you sign up through my site, you can earn a free ticket into a tournament. You can do so by heading to thefootballhistorydude.com/DraftKings. And again, that is thefootballhistorydude.com/DraftKings for your free entry into a tournament. But with all this talk of triple threat play, I would say that the epitome of the triple threatiness came in 1943, where he actually led the league in passing, punting, and interceptions, which I believe is the only player to do so. A triple crown, which is extremely difficult to earn in the NFL. And in that year, he had a game for the ages. That game came on November 14th of 1943. But first, he 2 weeks later became the first quarterback to throw for 6 touchdowns in a game. So he already had, you know, this ball rolling. But back to this game for the ages. In this game, he also became the first player ever to record 4 interceptions in a game. There are 18 other players since, but none has 5. And again, in the same game, he also had a punt for 81 yards. And oh, why not throw it on top? He also threw for 4 touchdowns. So this has to be one of the greatest single game performances of all time. But that was just par for the course for this guy. I mean, he had way too many games and stories, like I mentioned earlier, to kind of cover in this show. But another famous game, again, came in November, this time on November 23rd in 1947. The Touchdown Club of Washington honored Slingin' Sammy with his own day, giving him also a handsome station wagon. Now, he said that he was nervous not to let the fans down on, quote, Sammy Baugh Day. Then he would proceed to go out and throw for 355 yards, 6 touchdowns against the Chicago Cardinals, the team that that year would end up winning the championship. So, yeah, let's just say you did not let them down, Sammy. But let's get into some of his stats that weren't so celebrated, but albeit extremely important, especially, you know, for the championship runs that they had. He was not only the innovator in the passing attack, he also happened to be one of the greatest punters of all time. Sammy is second in career punt average, only behind Shane Leckler. Now, Leckler's career started 50 years after Baugh's ended, so there was a huge gap there where he was by far and away the number one. He was also first in punt average for a season. He had a 51.4 average back in 1940. Shane Leckler, you know the guy who career punt average is most? He is second with 49.11 in 1 year. And this is just a little bit of the, glimpse into the various stats that he had and the impact that he had in the game. But then, you know, he would pass away on December 17th, 2008, at the age of 94. He won two NFL championships, and he was unanimously elected as a charter member of the Hall of Fame. So I saw where they said that it was only he and George Halas that shared that honor. Of course, he was a charter member of the College Football Hall of Fame as well. But with the career stats in a total of 16 NFL seasons, there's no wonder. He was six-time NFL passing leader. He ended up with 21,866 passing yards, 187 passing touchdowns, a 45.1 punt average, and 31 interceptions. So, you know, the old go both ways, 60-minute kind of guy. But like many other great players, he also ended up coaching a few years in the league. 1960 and 61 for the New York Titans, and then in 1964 for the Houston Oilers. Even off the gridiron, he was a star. Republic Pictures signed Slangin' Sammy for a lead role in 1941 for a movie called King of the Texas Rangers. Now, according to IMDb, which is an internet movie database, they said that many Western aficionados considered this one of Republic Pictures' greatest Western films of all time. But even with this on-screen fame and the gridiron glory, he was just deep down a good old country boy. I mean, Belichick described how he wasn't in it for the fame or glory. He just wanted to play football and win. Now, he didn't say the Patriot way, but by golly, you know what? I'm sure that what he meant was he played the Patriot way, and he would have loved to have this guy and his team. And this is kind of how he described it himself. Sammy Baugh, in his Hall of Fame speech, said that money did not mean that much to me. I had fun playing football. And then kind of another funny, but guys, in a way explaining how this guy was just kind of right off into the sunset. In the top 100 video describing how he was so popular in the NFL and all these things, and he could have all this glory, but he just rode into the sunset after retiring. And the interview with him is just kind of like describing how he was just back to his roots as a Texas boy. He said that, "I'm a country boy and I like the country. If I want to walk out in the yard and take a leak, well, I'm going to walk out in the yard and take a leak." And that's it. But with that being said, Slingin' Sammy may have been just a country boy, but he sure did have swagger and confidence on that field. Legend has it that a story from his first practice goes as such. Coach Ray Flaherty told him, "Let's see you hit that receiver in the eye." So Slingin' Sammy looked over at Wayne Milner, who was running a button hook pattern, and Slingin' Sammy confidently asked, "Which eye?" I hope you enjoyed this episode of the Football History Dude and were able to gain some knowledge nuggets about one of the most dangerous triple threat players in NFL history. This wraps up the inaugural Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 1963. Now, in the next episode, we shift gears a little bit for a special holiday episode to discuss a brief history of the NFL on Thanksgiving Day. But for now, dudes, I'm through if you're through.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Football History Dude. To make sure you're the first to get the next episode, please subscribe on your podcast player of choice and head on over to thefootballhistorydude.com for the show notes and more information on the history of the NFL. And remember, dudes, where we're going, we don't need roads.